My guest, John Callahan, is a scholar of African-American literature and the literary executor for the estate of Ralph Ellison, the author of the 1957 classic Invisible Man. When Ellison died in 1994, he left behind 1,500 manuscript pages of a novel called Juneteenth that he had worked on for four decades and was never able to complete. Callahan took on the job of editing the manuscript. His 354-page edition has just been published. The novel begins in the 1950s in Washington, D.C., as Reverend Hickman, an elderly black minister from Georgia, arrives to warn a senator, a white racist from New England, that the senator is in danger. The reverend is ignored by the senator's secretary, but he's in the Senate gallery as the senator is shot. It turns out the senator was an orphan of ambiguous racial background who was raised by the reverend, but later denied his black upbringing.
He discovers that he can pass for white, and he sees that when a white woman comes into the, interrupts the Juneteenth revival service and claims that Little Bliss is her son, that's the first kind of sense he gets that, you know, maybe he is white and not black. And then he identifies that woman with the images of Mary Pickford and other white movie stars that he sees on the screen, and decides that he will be white, and he denies his blackness. And that's Ellison's theme, that Americans are headed for trouble and really destruction if they deny their connection to black culture and black experience in this country.
And he's including white people in there, that white people have a connection to the black experience and to black culture.
Oh, absolutely. That was the point. I mean, that let's say Sun Raider is white genetically and biologically, but he is black in a more profound sense. And in this case, Ellison sets it up by having Sun Raider raised as a black child. For the rest of us, those who didn't have that experience, Ellison would argue that we still are somehow black in cultural terms.
What shape was the manuscript for Juneteenth in when you found it?
Well, Ellison had worked on this novel in progress, the second novel, or saga, if you want, for some 40 years. So there wasn't a manuscript. There were manuscripts. There was manuscript after manuscript after manuscript. And there were a number of different narratives within the manuscript. Some of them quite fragmentary and rough and unfinished. And the most finished and complete and coherent narrative, fortunately, was the one that was at the central narrative, the heart of the story, Bliss, Sun Raider, and Hickman, and that was Juneteenth, and fortunately, that was the one that was, in my judgment, all but finished.
John Callahan, your edited version of Ralph Ellison's novel Juneteenth has been getting a lot of criticism. For example, the review in the New York Times by Michiko Kakutani said, you know, Callahan has effectively changed the book's entire structure and modus operandi. Instead of the symphonic work Ellison envisioned, Mr. Callahan has given us a single, tentatively rendered melodic line. Instead of a vast modernist epic about the black experience in America, he has given us a flawed linear novel focused around one man's emotional and political evolution. I'm wondering your response to the criticism that you took this kind of like sprawling, riff-like novel and kind of shaved it and weeded it so that's now this much more linear presentation.
Well, we got so many metaphors there.
Yeah, I know. I really overdid it on that. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you did, but I think the critic in the Times has it wrong. There's not one melodic line in the first place in Juneteenth. I mean, mm-hmm. Hell, you have the senator. You have several. The senator has several melodic lines. The senator as Little Bliss. The senator as movie man. The senator as the senator. The senator in the present as a dying man trying to put together and integrate all of his melodic lines or voices, if you want. And the same thing is true of Hickman. So at the very least, you have a very complex duet. As for her metaphor of about an unfinished symphony, it seems to me the form that Ellison was working with in this narrative is jazz, a succession of riffs and breaks and solos coming back to the baseline of the encounter between these two men in the hospital, with the senator dying and Reverend Hickman attempting to help him redeem himself.
If you're just joining us, my guest is John Callahan, and he's the literary executor of the Ralph Ellison Estate and has edited a novel that Ellison had worked on for about 40 years and never completed. The novel's called Juneteenth, and it's just been published. Did you talk to Ralph Ellison about what he was thinking about when he wrote his now famous first line to his most famous book, I Am an Invisible Man?
Oh, yeah, Ralph was very fond of telling the story about how he wrote that first line. He was up in Vermont in the summer of 1945. He'd just been mustered out of the Merchant Marine. And he was trying to write a prisoner of war novel, what he called a prisoner of war novel, a completely different novel than Invisible Man. And he was sitting up there in the door of a barn in Vermont, and he put a piece of typing paper in the machine and just, without knowing it, what he was doing, typed, I am an invisible man. And he was about to take the piece of paper out of the typewriter and toss it away, and he looked at it again and said, by God, I think I have something there. And the whole novel proceeded off of that one line.
And in terms of the actual style of writing in that, did he write to you that it was inspired from Dostoevsky's Notes from the Underground?
Yes. Yes, he did. I was writing a piece about Ralph from my book in the African American Grain in the mid-80s, and somewhere I got the bright idea to have the Ellison chapter preceded by a prologue in which I made connections between Richard Wright's The Man Who Lived Underground and Ellison's Invisible Man. And Ellison wonderfully and wittily took me to task on that and said, look, Wright and I were both the sons of Dostoevsky, the literary sons of Dostoevsky. And he emphasized the connection to Dostoevsky and made a very strong and accurate case about the differences between Invisible Man as a character and Wright's character, Fred Daniels.
And could you quote the line from Dostoevsky that inspired I Am an Invisible Man?
Sure. The opening lines of Notes from the Underground go as follows. I am a sick man. I am a spiteful man. No, I am not a pleasant man at all. I believe there is something wrong with my liver.
And the opening from Invisible Man reads?
I am an invisible man. No, I am not a spook like those who haunted Edgar Allan Poe, nor am I one of your Hollywood movie ectoplasms. And you see there, Ellison riffing his own variation off of Dostoevsky. As he said so many times, novels are written out of other novels.
He obviously also felt a connection to Dostoevsky's book and didn't feel that their racial differences should mean that he couldn't connect to it because he was black and Dostoevsky was white.
That's right. In fact, I think you can make the case that Ellison probably believed that the connection was all the stronger because of the differences, the particular differences. One of the things that's wonderful about Invisible Man, and I think Juneteenth, is that the specificity of the African-American experience that Ellison gets into these novels makes it easier for people that are not literally African-American to connect with the characters and the experience in those novels. I remember my own first encounter with Invisible Man. I was, I think, 19 years old. It was 1960. I was up at Holy Cross College, and I had read Joyce and I had read Fitzgerald, and I had identified strongly with those Irish Catholic characters. And I read Invisible Man, stayed up all night to read it, read it through the middle of the morning, cutting a class in Tacitus, in which I was hanging on for dear life to a D. And I identified more strongly with Invisible Man than I did with the characters of Joyce or Fitzgerald, because he felt an outsider where he was supposed to feel at home. and so did I. And then what was wonderful for me, this was the time the sit-ins were just stirring my generation's roots, and Invisible Man said, "Hurt to the point of abysmal pain, still I must emerge." And I felt, my God, if he can do that, so can I.
How did you interpret that sentence?
That even though I am hurt to the point of abysmal pain, to the point of facing and being on the edge of the abyss, I still can and will emerge and try to play a socially responsible role in the larger society.
Well, John Callahan, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
You're welcome.
John Callahan is the literary executor of the Ralph Ellison Estate. Callahan's edited version of Ellison's uncompleted novel, Juneteenth, has just been published. This is Fresh Air.